Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
There's a sign along Southern California freeways that says food grows where the water flows. Even so, in the Christian life, fruit grows where the Holy Spirit flows. Next, with Pastor Paul Chappell, we'll study the fruit of the Spirit. Stay tuned, Daily in the Word. Is so many people come to Christ, they know Him as Savior, but they barely get past the first step of the Christian life. Few Christians really enter in to a Holy Spirit-led and a Holy Spirit-filled life where the fruit of the Spirit literally begins to transform who you are from the inside out. Do you long to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, the simple fact is God longs to grow that fruit in your life. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Daily in the Word features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. It's a joy to minister to you every Monday through Friday via this radio program. If you haven't visited dailyintheword.org, be sure to do so. You can listen to this radio program via the internet and also through the podcast, a free subscription that brings every day's program right to your computer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. But first, let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Here's Pastor Chappell to introduce today's message.
I often wonder, what would the church be like? What would the local church where I attend and where you attend be like if there was true faith being exhibited on the part of the members? The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And today we're going to learn that faith, in many respects, is the gift of the inner working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will produce faith. He will cause us to trust. He will cause us to move forward in ways that please our Lord. And when He is moving, I trust that we are yielding and listening. Let's open our Bibles today to Galatians 5 and learn about the fruit of the Spirit called faith.
And I believe as we walk in the Spirit, wives will be more faithful to their husbands and husbands more faithful to their wives. And I believe God wants you to keep on going forward as a faithful Christian. Perhaps some of you heard the story about the two frogs that fell into the bucket of cream. And boy, they were in there swimming around in this cream. And the first frog, he got discouraged. He said, "This is nuts. Nothing's happening. I keep trying to jump up and I can't get out. I try to scratch my way up and it's too slippery." And so he got discouraged. And after a while, he just determined that that would be his fate. And he drowned in the cream. Well, the second frog, he said, "Now, I don't know what I can do, but at least I can keep trying to tread in this cream and I'll just keep doing the best I can." And that's what he did. He said something might happen and he just kept kicking and churning. And finally, he found himself on a platform of butter and he jumped up out of the bucket and went on to safety. And I want to tell you, some days that's about all you can do is just keep treading, right? Just keep treading. Christopher Columbus, many times in his daily journal, he just simply wrote out these words. He said, "Today we sailed on. Today we sailed on." There will be some days, some times in your life where it won't be the monumentous victories. But I want to tell you, if you just keep sailing on and keep on being faithful, God will be faithful to you. Be faithful at work. Be faithful to your family. May I say thirdly, be faithful in your stewardship. Be faithful in the area that God has blessed you with. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 16, or notice in your notes there, Luke 16, verse 10. Luke 16, verse 10. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" God says, if you'll be faithful in a little, I'll allow you to be faithful with more. And by the way, thank God that he is true to his word. And he simply says, when we are faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. And then I want to challenge you this morning, another area of faithfulness. I believe God would have every one of us to be faithful in our church attendance. Faithful in our church attendance. Look in your notes at a verse that is sometimes forgotten, Hebrews 10:25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." God says, listen, as the day is approaching, as my return is drawing nigh, don't fall into this trap of lukewarmness that will come over many churches and many Christians, but so much the more we need to be faithful in this day. A pastor friend of mine did something last Easter I'm not sure I would have done. I hope he said it tongue in cheek. But he stood up after the Easter services. He said, "For all the visitors, it's been great having you here today, and we'll see you at Christmas." Now, I don't know that that's the best diplomacy, but the fact of the matter is that sometimes we find in this day a lack of faithfulness. How I thank God for a church family that faithfully desires to hear the Word of God. God requires faithfulness. But now I want to share something with you that I hope will be a blessing to you. You see, God never requires us to do something that he doesn't enable us to accomplish. God's calling always is accompanied with God's enabling. And so I want you to take note that God produces faithfulness. In other words, God doesn't just require it, but God's going to give you the desire and the ability to accomplish it. That's why it says in verse 22, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith," or faithfulness. You see, Ephesians 5:18 says it this way, "Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So as I am filled with the Spirit, I will be controlled by the Spirit, and I will have desires to be faithful where I normally would not have desired to be faithful. Now God is producing that desire within me. He's doing that good work in me that I could not have produced. And because of his Spirit working within me, I learn that faithfulness is the disposition of the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness is being created in my heart by God at work in my heart. How many of you can know and you can say, "Pastor Chapel, there have been times in my life when God put a desire on my heart that I wouldn't have normally wanted to do myself, but I know it was God putting that on my heart." Isn't that a great thing? That's what God can do in your heart. This past week, I was in an airport and saw a Marine in his full uniform. He had his helmet and his kind of his goggles and so forth. And I went up to him. And I said, "Are you just getting back from Iraq?" He said, "Yes, sir." Just a little short, redheaded guy. I mean, he looked definitely younger than my son, Larry, and just a young-looking kid. And I said, "I want to thank you for serving our country like that." I gave him a gospel tract and told him who I was. And I said, I sure appreciate your faithfulness. And Semper Fi would be his motto, always faithful. And I said, "I hope you have a good time while you're here at home." He's just home for about a month. Then he was going back. And I tried to encourage him. A tear came into his eye. And I thought as I spoke to that Marine, there is coming a day when the battles of this life will be over. And one day, I'll see my Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that I'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You see, our example in faithfulness is God himself. The exhortation to faithfulness is simply found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, let's notice something thirdly that many times we don't think about like we should, but that is our examination in faithfulness. In other words, if you are at work and something is required of you, then there will be an examination of that which has been required. If you are in school and there is something required of you at school, such as a term paper, there will be an examination of that term paper. Now, I had a friend in college once who was required to write a term paper on Old Testament history. And he thought he would write about whatever. He wrote about his pet dog, his pet cat, his grandmother. He was convinced that the professor never read the term papers. Boy, did he make a mistake. The professor examined his term paper thoroughly and gave him a mark according to his effort. Now, I want you to think about for these next few moments the fact that the Lord examines the faithfulness of his children. Why would he require something of us in faithfulness if he's not going to bother to take note? Now, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again, and let's see what the Bible says in verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. So Paul says, it's not the biggest thing in the world for you to judge me. He says, I don't even judge my own self. He says, my assessment of where I am spiritually isn't good enough. He says, I don't know anything about myself that I know to be wrong at this moment, but he says, that doesn't justify me. Why? Verse 4 says, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now let's say that together. Ready, begin. But he that judgeth me. Now notice the phrase judgeth me. It is in the present tense. It implies a constant divine scrutiny. Paul said, hey, it's a small thing what these guys think. What really matters is that the Lord is constantly scrutinizing, constantly evaluating. He knows every missed opportunity. He knows every blunder. And he also knows every time I obeyed him. And so we must come to a place in our lives where we realize there is a much higher standard than what someone else would say. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now notice there in verse 5 what it says. Therefore judge nothing before the time. Notice the next four words. Until the Lord come. Now that's what I want to talk to you about for the next 5 minutes. The fact that the Bible says the Lord will come. John chapter 14 and verse 3. Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, the Bible says there will be scoffers in the last days who will say, yeah, well, the Lord said he would come and he's never come. But the Bible does say that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. On God's economy, on God's time scale, it's been 2 days since he said that. Now, I want you to realize, my friend, that the Lord is coming again. Now, as we think about facing the Lord someday, I believe that in this passage, we're not talking about what Revelation calls the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment for those who rejected Jesus. This is talking about the judgment seat of Christ, or sometimes called the bema seat of Christ, where we as Christians will be rewarded for our good deeds and where we'll have the opportunity to lay down rewards at Jesus' feet. Now, when you think about standing before the Lord, there are two things I want to remind you of this morning. The first one, letter A, is this. We all have different opportunities. We all have different opportunities in this life. Sometimes people compare themselves with others, and they're unwise in doing that. Now, let me show you what the Bible says in Matthew 25. And if you have a Bible, let me encourage you to turn there to see how God views this situation. Matthew 25 is one of the parables of Jesus Christ. It's commonly called the parable of the talents. And this is where Jesus talks about a good man that leaves some things to his children or to his servants, and then he goes into a far country. Most theologians and Bible scholars believe that Jesus was referring to himself and that he was saying that he would leave some things to his disciples, that he would go away and then come back again to judge them based upon their faithfulness to him. Now let's read it. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now we can read on with the story. The man with 2 talents, he invested wisely. The man with 1, he did not invest wisely, and he was not rewarded. Now, I don't know what these guys were thinking. 1 guy receives 5, 1 guy receives 2, 1 guy receives 1. The guy with 1 talent might have said, whoa, Y2K's coming up. This is not the time to invest. I'm going to bury this in the ground. And because of that, he squandered the opportunity to make a difference with what God had given to him. The other 2 men said, I don't understand how it will work, but by faith they invested wisely and they were rewarded accordingly. Those servants who had invested their talent or their lives wisely, when Jesus came, they were very excited. The one who had squandered his life was very sad. And I find that to be true today. People who are living their life with the Lord in mind have an excitement and a joy. And people who are not oftentimes have a sadness and will resent your joy. The talents show us that unequal gifts, if used with equal faithfulness, will be equally rewarded. Unequal gifts, if used with equal faithfulness, will be equally rewarded. Someone says, well, I don't have the talent he has. I don't have the treasure he has. I don't have the opportunities that that guy has. And the fact is, that's not the issue today. God wants you to be faithful with what you do have, not with what you do not have. And so we all have different opportunities. Secondly, we will all be examined according to our faithfulness. Again, we will be examined according to our faithfulness. Notice there in Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. The word reckoneth is an accounting term. He is going to bring into account how you have done with this life. Have you been faithful? Have you been faithful with your family? Have you been faithful with God's blessings? Listen very carefully. We as Christians are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. And in this success-oriented society, we need to wake up to the fact that there will be some people with very little in this life who are faithful to the max, and they will be way in front of the line at the judgment seat of Christ, receiving rewards for their faithfulness unto the Lord. That's why John the Revelator said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, for none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. John says, I want to challenge you. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. And I believe that for Christians who are faithful all the way until God calls them home, one of the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ is called a crown of life. It's given to faithful people, not people who were so successful, but people who just kept on keeping on and sailed on another day. The Bible says they will receive the crown of life. Now let's wrap this up this morning. Matthew 25:21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. I hope that you are living your life with this thought in mind. One day, when I see the Lord, I would like to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When we came to Lancaster in July of 1986, we were just really trying to hold on with keeping a building downtown, and the offerings were $200-$300 a week. The payment was $2,800 a month. You do the math. It was a tough time. And God slowly began to provide and meet those needs. And there was a man that I knew named Wally Davis. He was an evangelist friend. He went around preaching at different churches. And one day I called him and I said, Brother Davis, I said, I would sure love it if you'd come preach for us at our church, maybe a Monday and Tuesday night. like a Bible conference, but I said, I know sometimes when speakers go out and speak, they might receive an honorarium or something. I said, I really don't know if we can do that, but we'd sure be glad if you'd come. He said, hey, I'll come. I'd love to be there. And so he came. I remember he arrived here that Monday morning, and I said, would you mind going out into some of the neighborhoods with me and just passing out some invitations to church? I said, I can't really afford a Yellow Pages ad or any of that stuff, but I can at least go talk to people. He said, sure, we'll do that. We went to a street over here in Lancaster, and I was walking on one side, inviting people from door to door, and he's on the other side. And all of a sudden, I heard this huge yell and scream from Brother Davis, and I looked over at him, and he was jumping all around. I ran to the other side of the street, and he had walked right over a Mojave Green rattlesnake on a sidewalk. Now, I'm telling you, we made sure that guy got into the bushes, and we felt led of the Lord to go to the other side of the street and do our witnessing for the rest of the day. Well, Brother Davis, he preached for us. And that night, I'll never forget, it rained and rained that night, and the water came gushing down the street. We had about 15 people in church, but he preached like there were 1,500. Then that next night, we had a little better crowd, maybe 30 or 40, and he just preached a great message. He's been such a blessing to our church. For 16 consecutive years, he has gone to our men and boys camp out up at Sequoia National Park, and he has preached to the men about being godly men. And his voice has been so deep, I mean, it just resonates off the canyons and off the mountains. It's like you get the message twice. And God has used him to be a blessing to our church many, many times. He is a man that never really said a critical word about anyone else. He's a man that just tried to love pastors and love churches everywhere. How many of you heard him preach? Let me see, fellas, many of you. Sure you did. And yesterday, his pastor called me. He said, Brother Chapel, he said, you know, Brother Davis has been fighting this cancer. And God called him home this morning at 10 o'clock. And my heart was heavy as I thought of the loss of a friend. But then I couldn't help but think of the fact that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm sure today that Brother Davis has heard those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to live my life in such a way that one day I might hear those words. I want to challenge you to do the same. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure that when you pass from this life, you would enter into a place called heaven, we'd love to take a moment at the end of this service and show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that one day heaven would be your home.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Daily in the Word. You can listen to this message or recent messages from Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. I'll tell you about that in just a moment, but here to wrap up today's program is Pastor Chapel.
My friend, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. That word must is a very interesting word because it's the same word that Jesus used in John chapter 3 when he spoke to a religious man who was lost without Christ. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." My friend, this is not the must of a Baptist church or any other kind of a church, but Jesus Christ himself has reminded us that if we will have a home in heaven someday, then we must come to the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not the gift of any church or any prophet. Salvation is the gift of Jesus, who paid for our salvation and covered our sin when He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. And my friend, 3 days after He died on the cross of Calvary, He rose again powerfully for our justification. If you would like your sins to be forgiven, if you would like to know what justification is all about, then the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you would call on Him by faith today and confess to Him that you are a sinner and ask Him to forgive your sin and come into your life, the Bible promises that He will come in and you will be saved. May God help you today to make your prayer to the Lord by faith. If you've never trusted Christ, today is the day of salvation.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, before we close out today's program, I want to invite you to visit us online and to find out more about the large and growing online ministry of Pastor Chapel. First of all, this program can be found at dailyintheword.org. And from Daily in the Word, you'll find links to recent programs. You'll find links to where our program can be heard across the country. You'll also find links to our other websites. And I want to encourage you to visit Pastor Chapel's personal blog at paulchapel.com. And also a brand new resource site that we've launched from our ministry entitled ministry127.com. Simply go to ministry127.com. You'll find a treasury of resources for local church ministry, all of it for free. We know it will benefit you greatly. Again, visit us at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can click on the radio series, listen to today's broadcast or recent broadcasts. You can also click on the Donate tab, and we would so appreciate your investment into our efforts as we continue to minister the grace of God and the Word of God across the country and through this ministry. We appreciate your partnership. If we can be of help to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And until next time, have a great day.